of the cool things we can do, we can do, we can do. We love the cool things we can do on our computer.
Well, hey there. Good morning and happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy March Madness and happy post-election celebrations. It's Adam Lepp here, AdamTheComputerGuy.com, with my Thursday morning adventure into Radio Land. We have a bit of a special show today. I have a special guest in the studio, and it's actually kind of cool because we talk about social networking and, you know, virtual friends, people that you consider friends, your Facebook friends you talk to, and even if you live just a few miles away, sometimes you don't really actually know them in person. But that streak has been broken. In the studio right now is a gentleman that I had on the phone with me about 5 weeks ago. Very bright guy. He works for an important nonprofit organization in Central Ohio that we're going to talk about for a bit. He is a bit of a guru in social networking, a big sports fan. I mean, he pretty much knows every and not just baseball and football and basketball. He pretty much knows any sport. And has not only knowledge and historical viewpoint, but an opinion, and certainly creative perspectives that we like to hear. Mr. Harry Yeprum Jr. is in the studio with me. And Harry, good morning. Thanks for coming down and joining me today.
Nice to finally meet you in person, Adam. You really talked me up. I don't know about guru and all the kind things you said, but thanks. It's finally nice to come up to the studio and be here and meet you in person and kick off March Madness and St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, and yeah, we will talk about, like we did back in February, the relationship between social networking and IT and, of course, sports, and how it's changed. Is it good or bad? The story that I covered on my show on Tuesday was the leak in terms of the rankings and who's playing whom by an overly zealous Twitter user. And is that a good thing or bad thing? Maybe we should have some regulations. Maybe we should have gag orders or what have you. We'll get into that because there's so much intermingle. I mean, social media, obviously, Harry, intermingles with everything. But I'm really seeing a lot of influence with sports. And, you know, sports are very important in this area. And I think that's a very timely topic. Want to invite you, please, to give us a call. Now, we are taking your telephone calls live here at the radio station.
Your picks.
Yes, located in the Marion Center Mall, just south of downtown Marion OH.
A lovely mall, by the way.
Definitely. And give us a call right now, 740-383-WWGH, 383-9944, to speak with me and or Harry about sports topics, March Madness, and computer topics, computer questions that you might have. And the topic, I think, today, the main one is the intermingling, I think that's a word, between sports.
You just made it up if it's not.
Yeah, between sports and social media and how we've influenced everything. When Harry and I talked via phone a few weeks ago, we talked about Johnny Football. And, of course, as Harry predicted, and we pretty much knew several days ago, the Browns did bid their fair adieu to him. You do agree with that decision, Harry, that despite his talent, just his baggage that he has as a human being is too much.
A dude needs to work on his life. He needs to quit worrying about football right now and work on his life because there's obviously some really, really serious problems going on. He was in rehab, allegedly, a year or so ago. He was in rehab. And then you look on Instagram, Twitter, he's back out partying. So you just wonder. He comes from a well-to-do family. So he probably doesn't even care. He probably figures, I got my money from my 1 year with the Browns, 2 years with the Browns. I'm just go party, be an internet celebrity.
Right, so the internet, in his case, probably has been detrimental. If he didn't have that little toy, maybe he would actually concentrate on a very good skill that he has.
Unless he's trying to be a reality star.
Yeah, well,
he's doing a good job of that.
And I kind of wondered, do you think that if we were to turn the clock back 30 years and the internet was only used by geeks, you know, with tape on their glasses, kind of like myself, that maybe he would have had a better fate? He wouldn't be playing
around?
He'd
be Joe Namath, probably, if there wasn't the internet. Who knows what Joe Namath was getting into, but we didn't know because we didn't have people posting pictures to the internet or anything like that.
Yeah, do you think, I mean, did he pay attention to players like O.J. Simpson, who...
No, obviously not.
I mean, Simpson, too, you know, being a broadcaster, I thought he was an excellent sports commentator, and that's one thing I miss about the guy. He had great perspective. I mean, that only retired athlete would have. And, yeah. You know, now look at him. It's kind of a shame. I feel sorry for the guy.
In a way, I guess you could. But, yeah, O.J. did do a great job on NBC. He obviously did a great job in the satirical movies, The Naked Gun. Goodness, I watch them all the time. He was great in those, but
that was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Airplane.
In Airplane, yes. Did you? I got a fun fact for you. Actually, did you know that Pete Rose was actually supposed to have the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar part in Airplane, but they couldn't work it out because the movie was filmed. As I try to stumble and talk here, all of a sudden, the movie was filmed during the summer. And he couldn't work it out on his schedule. But that was actually supposed to be Pete Rose in Airplane.
I didn't know that.
There you go.
So you get all kinds of interesting tidbits.
My job is done here, everyone. Now you know something.
Here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show with today's special guest, Mr. Harry Yeprum Jr., a social media and sports aficionado. We are taking your telephone calls. Again, don't be shy. We don't bite, and that's BYTE, by the way.
Call in with your picks.
Yeah, again, questions, comments. We're discussing sports, social media, general computer and telecommunications topics. Here, you know, we are an open forum, and we do invite your participation. I want to remind you that we have some very good guests coming up later today.
As opposed to me, there's actually legitimate people coming into this studio.
Yeah, with Scott Spears, a man with a penchant for celebrity interviews. Phyllis Schlafly, at about 10 after noon today, Eastern Time, will be discussing the election, and that should be a very involved discussion as the election.
Well, I won't go there.
Yeah, we're probably a little bit tired of hearing about it.
But I'm not.
It is a major story, and I personally think there was a bit of a surprise earlier this week. So Scott and Ms. Schlafly will be discussing those items and more. And then at 1:45, Mary Ellen Withrow. I hear her hand is very tired from signing all those dollar bills. But she'll be speaking about the election with Scott Spears, our very own former U.S. and state treasurer, native of the Marion area, Ms. Mary Ellen Withrow, on with Scott Spears in approximately 3.5 hours. Listen online at WWGH1071.com, or, of course, locally on your FM dial. Adam the Computer Guy here with my special guest, Harry Yeprum Jr. Harry wanted to talk about a few things related to the March Madness. Basketball playoffs. Yes, it is your turn to talk, Harry. I mean, secretly, I think I have to use the men's room, so I figured I would.
Oh,
just,
do you?
Yeah, I figured I just kind of, you know, I kind of, we have to walk across the hall to get to the men's room, so I figured now we can go ahead and talk about some sports issues and again, how they relate to social networking.
Right. Well, March Madness, obviously, is huge in this country. It's one of the things that makes America great. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to just be basketball crazy, hence the term March Madness. And I'm sure everyone out there listening, for the most part, has filled out a bracket, whether online or on paper. And you have your office pools. Some people do it for actual cash, like through a website, or for prizes. And it's just fun. It's just a lot of fun to watch basketball, to see how good you might know the particular teams or how good you are at picking, to think you're maybe the Jay Billis of your office, when it turns out that you're probably not, and Susie in accounting probably knows more about basketball by basing her picks on mascots and uniforms as opposed to you, who crunched numbers and actually compared teams and players. But that's how it works out. That's how the bracket is. It's fun. It's everyone can be a part of it. It just makes it real fun for the next few months, or for the next few weeks.
And we have a telephone call, Harry. If the name is correct, I think he's actually one of your Facebook buddies.
Uh-oh.
Good morning. You are on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show with my special guest, Harry Yeprum Jr.
How you guys doing?
Very good. Is this this is Zach, I believe, right?
I believe it is.
Yes, sir.
Good old caller ID. We have a lot of tricks of the trade here in the radio business. I was kind of showing Harry some of the stuff we do, and a lot of it's
very impressive.
A lot
of
it is secret, but you know, there's a few things that we could that kind of apply. You're in the Cincinnati area, right, Zach? You're listening online.
Yeah.
Great. And what do you think of the show so far?
Well, as Harry will tell you, we need some smarter radio personalities in Cincinnati.
I mean, Cincinnati, home of Willie Cunningham.
Well,
and all those fine people.
And that guy in the evening from 6 to 9.
Yeah.
And Lance McCallum.
Whoa! Let's not bring that name up.
Yeah. Jeff. I think Jeff Pecora was very good. I mean, I've actually known him since the late '90s when he was at WBOB. He's very good, and I'm glad that he's advancing in his career because he's excellent. Marty, without question, an idol of mine. But yeah, there are good and bad radio personalities in Cincinnati, Zach, and I would agree with you there.
He might block you.
What do you got, Zach?
Maybe, but just talking March Madness, and Harry's a social media person.
No. Some people may call it a hashtag troll in some occasions, but who do you got on your bracket? Who's your final four? Let's cut to the chase.
Well, I have Kansas winning them all. I have all one seeds in the final four. I don't think any.
All number one seeds in the final four?
Yes.
That's no fun. See that this, and we'll get into this bracket etiquette as we get later in the show. But picking all number one seeds, that's called all chalk. For those who don't know, that's boring, Zach. You have to pick some upsets.
Do you want me to tell you what I really think, what I want to happen?
You tell me what you wrote on your bracket, because we'll get into that as well.
No, I told you what
I'm. You better not have 20 brackets going.
No, I've got one bracket, but I am, don't get me wrong, I am hoping that UC can make it to the
final four.
Well,
I'm sure you do. Well, keep hoping. Keep hope alive.
And just breaking news, I don't know if you heard, but Cal's best player broke his hand yesterday.
Did he? Well, I guess that's going to stink for them.
So people are now.
What's his name? Give us the info. Help me out here. What is Cal? You don't know his name?
I don't know. I don't. Cal's out on the West Coast. I'm sleeping when they're on TV.
Is Cal the college, Zach, or is that the guy's name?
Oh, no. We're not talking about Coach Cal. No,
We thought maybe Coach Cal broke his hand.
Well, California. I wasn't quite sure. See, it's kind of early over here, and I haven't had enough coffee yet.
So. Well, and I was in Dayton till 2 a.m. in the morning last night.
Harry,
so that
Harry
probably wasn't very smart. At the first four, which was a very, very fun experience in Dayton. Dayton is a great basketball town, and UD Arena is a nice venue. I've never been there before. I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah, I like the whole area, the whole college area. It's very, very clean, easy to get around.
Even though I had to witness Michigan.
Very seriously.
Yes,
very
they do. I had to witness that team up north winning.
So, Zach, and the general topic of social media and the Final Four, I mean, the person tweeting some information that they probably shouldn't have over the weekend, how do you think that that's influenced the tournaments, and what do you think the precedent is for the future? Do we maybe have too much social media, or maybe not enough, or is it just...
Well, social media is definitely hurting TV. I mean, everyone, you know, back even a few years ago, you had to watch the you know, selection. There was even no chance of that happening. But you know, if CBS wanted to go to a two-hour crapshoot, they should have done it about 5-6 years ago. I mean, whoever leaked that out obviously was very disappointed with. You know, I don't know if you watch the selection show, but you know, they sit there and they just talk, they ramble on. You know, Harry's favorite person, Charles Barkley, who can't even
talk. I wanted to get into this. Zach makes a very good point. I thought maybe we were jumping the gun a little bit here, but as far as the selection show, CBS's selection show, that used to be 1 hour. They would take 1 hour, break down all of the regions in the bracket, interview a few coaches, get the reaction from the teams that were on the bubble who made it in, and this year they expanded it to 2 hours, and it was a total... I got to find the right word because I know we got FCC rules here. It was a blank fest. Let's just put it that way. It was a horrible show. You had Charles Barkley up on a touch screen trying to push in the right teams. Oh, yeah, and pronouncing Xavier incorrectly, of course. Xavier, not Xavier. And he couldn't even work the very board that he was supposed to work to show his picks. He looked like a moron. And the show was horrible. It was a horrible show. You don't need 2 hours to show the brackets. 1 hour is fine, but obviously you have to satisfy advertisers, sell more advertising. And you know what? The guy who broke the bracket early, a lot of people hailed him as a hero because they could get the bracket, print it off, and not watch any more of that garbage fest CBS foisted upon us.
Maybe it's almost a good thing then.
It was.
It's like, well, he didn't want to see the 2 hours. Yeah, it was dragged out without question. And maybe it's like, well, if we go back to something that's been tried and true, maybe this would be run a little more slickly, and people would be sitting there glued to their sets, waiting to hear about stuff instead of checking their phones every 10 seconds.
And I am not one to praise ESPN. ESPN has its faults, but ESPN did so much better of a job Sunday night as far as talking about the brackets, interviewing all of the coaches. It was so much better. It was way ahead of what CBS threw out there. Hopefully next year they'll learn their lesson, but they got to also try and work in the TBS guys, TNT guys, Barkley and Kenny Smith and Ernie Johnson. Ernie Johnson's fine, but
But
I don't get why they have to bring in the NBA guys. Chuck Barkley, Kenny Smith. You know, these guys don't know anything about college basketball.
They don't even know players' names.
Right. They're sitting there struggling to talk about teams and make picks, whereas, you know, you've got Clark Kellogg and Seth Davis, and for what it's worth, I know people don't like him, Doug Gottlieb on the other set. Those guys know college basketball. But since the games are on TNT, TBS, and True TV, God forbid, they have to work these NBA guys into the mix. And it just became, it was bloated. It was excess. It was unnecessary. And by the way, to Zach's earlier breaking news, California point guard Tyrone Wallace, their leading scorer, suffered a fracture in his non-shooting hand, right hand. So maybe he can still play.
So, Zach, you would be of the opinion that it could have been done a little more smoothly, and maybe the guy went ahead and tweeted this because he got tired of watching all the dribble.
Well, I'm thinking, and Harry might agree with me on this for once, but I'm thinking it might have been somebody from ESPN who leaked this bracket out.
Look at you going conspiracy theory on everything.
Harry knows what name I'm going to bring up from ESPN. I'm thinking Harry's best friend, Dan Dockage.
No. Dan Dockage did not.
This bracket.
No. Dan Dockage did not produce the leaked bracket. No.
Because think about it. I mean,
we don't know who did it, right?
God love him, though. I love Dan Dockage.
We don't know who did it, right? It's still
no. They're never going to find out.
It came from Busted?
Yeah.
Busted something.
Busted Bracket or something.
At Busted Bracket, something like that. So I'm thinking it's just,
but
somebody who probably did their, you know what, if somebody sat there and kept monitoring the NCAA or CBS Sports website, kept refreshing it, who knows, maybe a bracket popped up and he grabbed a screenshot of it, who knows.
When it came out, when I saw Joe Dannemann, Cincinnati Fox Sports analyst, I don't know if Harry knows him or not.
Any name dropping?
He actually retweeted it, and he's like, I don't know if this is the correct bracket, but if you want to look at it, here it is. And that, at first, I didn't want to believe that was the correct bracket. I just thought someone might be playing a joke.
It was, though.
Looking ahead, guys, to 2017, do you think it'll be any different? Will they go back to 1 hour? Will they have some rules about what information can be shared, or if we permanently scarred the whole process?
I doubt if they go back to an hour, because obviously they want to get more advertising in and make more money. So no, it'll probably stay a 2 hour show and just be, unless they figure out a way to ease Charles Barkley out of it and Kenny Smith, it'll just be the bloated excess we saw on Sunday.
Now, we have the baseball draft coming up in a few weeks. Do you think this will affect that as an event? Will there be tweeting and kind of finding out, I mean, a week beforehand who gets the number one pick?
No.
Or is this something totally different?
Yeah, it's, I mean, this...
Well, they did bring it up about the NFL draft, but somebody made a point that the NFL draft is, the picks are made live, so...
Well,
nobody has the information ahead of time.
Right. So the basketball selection is different, and we wouldn't expect to have a significant effect on
Right. Okay. Yeah, it's the selection show leading into March Madness. This is a huge animal, and I know all of us are speaking right now. We love baseball. But the baseball draft, except for hardcore geeks like us, really nobody follows it.
Yeah, it's long too.
Yeah,
it's rounds?
It's ungodly the amount of rounds in the baseball
and
draft.
The way they do it, I mean, if they want, you know, they have it on MLB Network in that little studio, and it's just.
No, nobody. I mean, other than hardcore baseball fans, nobody really cares about the baseball. Fortunately, unfortunately, depending on how you look at it.
Well, usually the Reds are playing during it, so I'm not even watching.
It might be more interesting than the Reds this year.
LOL, my friend.
LOL.
Well, Zach, thank you very much for calling. I greatly appreciate it. We especially like it when out-of-town people call in. Be sure to listen to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show between about 9, 10, and 10 a.m. on Tuesday and Thursday, and I hope you can call back. We can discuss sports and social media. If you have a computer question, that's fine. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks again for your call, and have a great St. Patrick's Day.
You too. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome, my friend. Well, glad to hear Zach, a social media friend of yours, Harry.
Yes.
Have you and Zach, I mean, you have red season tickets.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've met Zach. Okay. I've been accused of being Zach's father on occasion when incidents have occurred, which we can save those stories for another time. But, yes, maybe a sad commentary on how old I am now. But, yes, I know Zach very well, big Reds fan, and I got to know him through social media.
Harry, I'm older than you.
Slightly. Let's not get so. You look much better than me, though.
Very, very, very.
You've
slightly.
Aged well. I have not. I don't know if you want to get into. I mentioned it with Zach as far as bracket etiquette.
Yeah, things that relate, I think, to social media. There's such a big influence, and that's why I said, who better to talk about this than Harry? Plus,
wow.
Again, you.
I don't know about that.
I think you sound pretty good over the air. You have a good radio presence.
The water's helping. I don't want to get on here and hack like Hillary Clinton, yeah. Coughing everywhere. But no, I mentioned we mentioned brackets, and everybody. For the most part, probably 75 to 90% of America has a bracket in hand today, whether they're going to follow it at work, you know, hiding the tournament on their computer from their boss, or just like me, I take these 2 days off. I don't make any bones about it. I don't play sick. I don't fake some sort of emergency to get Thursday and Friday off. I tell my boss, I'm taking these 2 days off. I'm taking them off to watch basketball. And after I leave here, I'm going to either end up at a watering hole or just go back home and, for the most part, watch games all day. It all starts at 12 noon. But as far as brackets, the one thing that bothers me are the people who fill out multiple brackets with multiple picks. And I know you have ESPN, Fox Sports, CBS Sports offering prizes, offering money in some cases, and you're trying to win those. But I think you should... fill out a bracket, fill out your picks. Those are your picks. Use those picks in every contest you enter. Don't make multiple picks, because if you do that, you have no conviction in your picks. You have no conviction. You're a waffler. You're a flip-flopper. You don't want that. You know, have some guts. Stand by your picks. So I hate that when say, oh, I've got Kansas winning it in this pool, but I have Michigan State winning it in this pool. No, that's... no respect. I have no respect for that.
And we would think that the proliferation of the internet and Twitter is just making
well, definitely all the bracket contests now. I mean, you can, you know, can't throw, you know, spit in the wind without hitting a bracket contest during this time of year, which is great. It's fun. It's great. But, you know, I don't like when people have like 5, 6, 7 brackets going at the same time.
I guess our general consensus, Harry, is that we'd like to think that social media is making it more visible, especially if you don't live in Central Ohio, if you're in a rural area, or if your team is not in the same area that you're in. But it probably gets out of hand sometimes, people leaking information and just going online and just complaining about things, maybe putting the cart before the horse. Many things that could be good but end up almost being bad.
Yeah.
And causing almost a revolt, like the guy leaking the information.
Right. Well, you shouldn't make fun of other people's brackets, whether it's in person or social media. You should respect people's picks, just like in the election. Respect everyone's picks. Don't make fun of other people's brackets because, as I explained earlier, you may think you know everything there is to know about basketball, And I admit I don't. I love it. I follow it. But I don't know everything there is to know. But you may think you're the Dick Vitale of your office branch. But when it's all said and done, you know Jill from Human Resources. She's going to win the contest because she sat down and picked her picks based on a team's mascot or the color of their uniform. So she usually wins. And after all your number crunching and thinking you know everything, you'll probably end up third, fourth, fifth. It's just the way it is. It's like throwing darts on a board sometimes.
What about also, Harry, and this has come up with baseball, the watching of sports events on TV, the MLB.TV, how in our lifetime we've seen cable pretty much taking over most of your broadcasts. I mean, almost every Reds game and Indians game is on TV, but it does require cable, unless it's the Fox game of the week or something. And when we were in high school back in the Stone Age, people didn't really have cable TV unless they were in a rural area or wanted to get a movie channel. And now it's a case where you pretty much have to have that to get the broadcast. And again, the MLB.TV has kind of taken over the ability to watch these games online, and yet you have to pay for it.
Well, with March Madness, I mean, goodness, you have sometimes with games overlapping, you have two, three games going on at the same time, and just not relying on your TV is not enough. You got to have the feed on your tablet. You got to have it on your PC or your laptop next to you. I mean, there have been times at home I've got 3-4 games going at the same time. And March Madness, this is a perfect venue for it. They really pump up the app and the online streaming. And you can also follow your picks online as you're watching the games and monitor what's happening. So, goodness, yeah, the internet and streaming, something like March Madness is perfect for this.
Do you think the immediacy is kind of lost, that you can just watch 10 games at one time? Where it used to be, you'd sit in front of the TV with the CRT and not even a remote control, and you know, with the dog and your Bud Light and watch the game and have to flip channels.
Right.
Instead of now, you can
have it right in front of you.
You go to a sports bar, you can watch 20 games at one time. It seems like this immediate gratification.
I love it. Yeah, I love it personally.
You think it's helped?
Well, it used to be in the past, you would have the one feed on the CBS affiliate, which locally here would be 10. And if there was an exciting finish in another game, they would switch to that. But you'd have to rely on the one feed. Now you can watch whatever game you want, anytime, anywhere. Once again, if you're at work, make sure you have that screensaver handy to bring back up, or the fake spreadsheet, which they do provide on the site, or at least they used to. The fake spreadsheet you can pop up while you're watching the games if somebody walked behind you who shouldn't see you watching TV. But I love it. I love having all of it available.
So you welcome that. You welcome this.
Oh, definitely.
You embrace the ability.
Definitely. No, I'm not old school where, you know, we should only have the one feed and Greg Gumbel telling us where to go as far as what we're watching. No, it's great.
I mean, in terms of the MLB TV with, you know, baseball season approaching, is that good for the game or bad? Or
I think it's good. I do not subscribe to MLB.TV, though, because as of recently, this may have changed. There was some sort of legal settlement. You couldn't watch your local team on MLB.TV if you're in that market. So if you're a Reds fan, you lived in Cincinnati or Columbus, you can't watch it on MLB.TV. I think there is something going on with Fox Sports this year where you can get online streaming of the game. I have an app from Belkin where I can watch my cable on my phone, so I can watch the Reds if I'm out and about.
It seems like, all in all, there are less blackouts now than there were 20, 30 years ago.
There's some weird rule where, for some reason, in Columbus, Ohio, Pirates fans and Tigers fans cannot watch their games via the MLB.TV service. They're blacked out, which is very odd to me. I don't know why you would black out somebody from watching a Pirate or Tiger game, but apparently I've been told by friends that they can't watch those games.
Ironically, there probably aren't that many Pirates fans in Columbus. I mean, there are some,
you would be shocked, actually.
You almost think of Columbus as being split between Browns, Bengals, and the Steelers. And so it's almost like it's the Steelers will be more of an issue than the Pirates might be. And maybe with Detroit, they're just so mad that we don't like Ann Arbor, so they don't like
maybe
us to watch.
I don't know. It's just weird. It's weird how Major League Baseball configures their territorial rights, and it leads to weird things like that. I mean, MLB should embrace somebody wanting to pay for a service to watch their favorite team, even if it's in the home market. You would think they'd be more than happy to take someone's money, but I guess they want to protect the rights holder, which would be Fox Sports Ohio in this case.
I mean, Marion's interesting, and we're almost equidistant. There's
a little too close
Detroit,
to Cleveland.
I mean, Detroit, me. Cleveland, and Cincinnati, the distance is virtually identical in all three cases.
I
think it's fun that way. You kind of admire people in New York or Chicago where they have two teams in the area, or in Southern California with LA has a football team this year. They seem to kind of go back and forth, but there are multiple teams certainly in California. And here in Marion, we have three teams we can choose from, plus other ones that are somewhat close, such as Pittsburgh or Chicago.
Right.
And that's kind of cool to me. You like to have the discussion. You like to have the friendly rivalry. You know, I'm someone who says, I'm a diehard Reds fan, but as long as you're a baseball fan, that's good enough for me. Even the Cardinals are a team that I despise.
Yeah,
I
mean, except for Cardinal fans and, God forbid, Cubs fans, so they're going to have something to cheer for this year, it looks like.
The dialogue is certainly good, and that's, again, what's nice about the Final Four is it kind of brings everybody together.
Oh, definitely.
And the discussion, and again, that we can do it online, we can do it via TV shows or an old-fashioned letter to the sports editor in the paper.
Well, the tournament brings people together. Like I said before, anyone can fill out a bracket. Even my wife fills out a bracket, and she knows, hopefully she's not listening, knows nothing about college basketball. But even here locally, you have the Ohio State women's team. They're the third seed in the women's tournament. They'll be playing Friday at St. John Arena. You have the Ohio High School tournament on campus this weekend. And then the men, the Ohio State men, even though they're not in the big dance, they're in the NIT, the not in tournament, some people call it. But it's actually good that they're still playing, and they will play Sunday against Florida at the Shot in a weird situation where actually Florida will be the home team, but their gym's being renovated. So they actually have to come up here and play Ohio State as opposed to Ohio State going down to Gainesville. So you just have basketball on your TV. You have basketball in the venues in there. It's just basketball everywhere for the next 3 weeks. And it's great. It's great because it brings people together, something to talk about, something to go back and forth about, maybe argue about as far as picks. It's fun. It's just a lot of fun.
We are taking your phone calls. We can discuss sports, the Final Four. We can discuss the intermingling, another one of Adam's favorite words, between social media and, again, websites like MLB TV and sports, and how that has changed. Has it been a good thing or a bad thing? And we also, of course, accept technical questions. Harry, I'm sure, could tell you where to find your favorite game, and I could tell you how to disinfect your computer or make things work better. With the streaming broadcast, if the computer is not well-tuned, it might be choppy. You might have to buffer. I mean, you may have seen that sometimes if the connection isn't perfect, and I could probably help you make the computer work to its best ability. Our number here at the studio, we are live right here at the Marion Center Mall, is 740-383-9944. So pick up the old-fashioned rotary dial phone or smartphone or not-so-smartphone or maybe the VOIP Magic Jack phone like I have in my office and give us a call. Harry and I would love to speak with you because radio is a fun thing to do.
It is. And it's very fun.
One thing about the ever-increasingly technological world that we live in is radio. Obviously, we broadcast online. We use the internet not only as part of our broadcasting method, but to get information, be it news or sports or stories or things we can share. But the idea of speaking to people over the airwaves, that's still around, and I think it's exciting, and we can add to the mix the things that we can offer through high-tech media, and it all comes together as a really good package.
Yeah, call in with your picks, and for those who may care, my Final Four is West Virginia, Michigan State, Duke, and Kansas. Not all chalk, not all number one picks, because that's boring, and I have Michigan State winning it.
Yeah, we're kind of equidistant between Michigan State and West Virginia. So.
Well, this is a wide-open tournament.
Yeah.
There is no clear-cut favorite. Michigan State, though, has probably the player of the year in Denzel Valentine. That's why I'm picking them. The actual top college player of the year is not even in the tournament. He's not even in the NIT, and that's Ben Simmons of LSU. They just shut it down. They refused a bid to the NIT. They weren't good enough to even be in the NCAA. They were very mediocre. I think they finished 18-14. They refused a bid to the NIT because their top player, Ben Simmons, he doesn't even want to play anymore. He just wants to get ready for the NBA draft.
Here's a question for you, Harry. We have a telephone call.
Oh, great.
We'll answer the telephone call, then I'll ask you the question, which really wasn't that interesting anyway. Good morning. You are on the Adam the Computer Guy show with Adam and Harry. Thank you for calling. Hello? Hello?
Hello, Scott?
Yeah, hi there.
Okay, is today when you do the advertising?
Well, I mean, we have promotional messages throughout the day.
I've got something to fill. Did you do that?
You mean Swap Shop.
Is this Tradio?
It's Swap Shop. Yeah.
Swap Shop?
Swap Shop with Sean Kraft, where you can swap in your crafts if
what
you
does
wish,
she have?
Items. Ma'am, that show is on Tuesday between 10 and 11. Swap Shop with Sean.
She's gone.
Swap Shop is on between 10 and 11 on Tuesday with Sean Kraft.
I should have asked her picks. I wonder if she had a bracket.
Very, very possible.
She probably had a basket, not a bracket.
Possibly. Anyway, you can buy and sell your merchandise with Sean between about 10, just after the 10 o'clock features and 11 every Tuesday morning, right after my show. So thank you again for calling. We're happy to answer any programming questions that you might have, as we are your community radio station, and your listenership is very much appreciated. And thanks again for being a part of WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. I am discussing sports and social media and kind of the intermingling of the two items with Harry Yeprum Jr., my special guest today. And we are taking your telephone calls, 740-383-9900. Four. Harry, here's my question that really isn't that interesting, and again, it does have influences, I think, on the from the internet. Do you think maybe we should have an all-star game for the college athletes, the ones that aren't able to get in the tournament because the rest of their team isn't very good? Would that be fair to these really good players who we can't see during the?
I think they have one, or they used to. Probably not, because you risk injury.
Okay.
So probably not. You probably shouldn't. But I do believe there was some sort of game as far as basketball, not football. Well, actually, football, goodness gracious, what am I saying? You have the East-West Shrine Game. You have the Senior Bowl. So you do have those things in college football. In college basketball, I think there is one, but it's not very popular. And I believe it doesn't have your top players. It has a lot of lower-level players, but...
Getting back to the kind of the revolving topic here today, an all-star voting, and I'll look at baseball because that's the sport that I'm most well-versed in. I believe you can vote up to 25 times on the internet for your favorite players.
Yeah.
And, of course, that was changed from the punch cards and the hanging chads and that stuff that we used to have where you would, or I guess it was a fill-in, with a pencil to vote,
right.
Vote for your favorite player. The fact that you can vote online pretty easily 25 times, and that teams have these little parties where they just vote for all your favorite players. You know, the Reds do that. Doesn't that kind of skew things?
And I don't
hasn't it made All-Star voting a little less
yes,
meaningful?
I don't like that. I hate that. I hate stuffing the ballot box. And I'm not big on voting for your favorite players just because they're your favorite players. If your favorite player is having a horrible year, you should not be voting for him. And I vote based on the best player, not who my favorite player is. So, no, I'm not big on that, getting together and have everyone stuff the ballot box, so to speak, by voting online constantly. I really don't even think people should be given 25 votes.
Do you think we should still have online voting?
I believe we should.
Yeah.
No, we should, but it shouldn't be 25 votes per person.
I mean, I know as a computer person, there are certainly ways, even if you aren't allowed to vote
sure.
25 times.
Oh, definitely.
There are easy ways that you could vote 1,000 times and make it look like it's different people.
Sure.
And I'm not. And I would think in this day and age, in 2016, with all the technology that we have, And the fact that it isn't really that complicated, we're never really going to get away from that ability. As long as you can vote online, there will be people that will vote the 1,000 times.
And sure.
Doesn't require a PhD in computer science to know
how to do that. I'm too lazy to vote 1,000 times, much less 25. So, but I'm not big on that. But you were talking earlier, too, about the intermingling, as you said, of social media and March Madness. For those who may not know, the first four games, which are played every year in Dayton now, are actually shown on a network that most people don't know. Most people don't even know they have it on their system because they show reruns of Cops and they have shows with like mid-level comedians that nobody really pays attention to. It's called True TV. Well, apparently they've decided to go on Twitter and find those who are complaining about not being able to find True TV on their system. And apparently I've been one of the fortunate few. So we've gone back and forth how I've said, you know, I can't find this on my system. And where is True TV? Well, they turn around and actually reach out to those comments on Twitter and tweet back. And we've had a little good back and forth. I'm at Harry from CBUS, by the way, on Twitter for those who may care. But they've told people that who said they've liked the interchange between me and True TV. They've told those people they need to find Jesus. Maybe they need to get a life. I was asked if I have physical issues since I can't find the channel on my system. I even tweeted out to them last night, I decided to go to Dayton since I can't find True TV on my cable system. So I don't know. If people want to check that out, it's kind of amusing and funny that this TV network, cable network, is actually using this, I guess you would call viral marketing in a funny way to get people to watch their shows, which after the tournament, after the games ended last night, I'm not watching True TV. I'm not going to sit and watch Cops reruns every night, but it's funny. It's funny to check it out.
So the evolution of cable TV and who watches it and what we watch, what they have on their agenda, that's affected this also.
Oh, yeah, because it is kind of odd that these games, and I'm sure it's used as a platform to help this network increase its visibility, but it is odd that these games are not on, like, TBS or Turner or TNT, and they're on this True TV, which normally they don't broadcast sports in any form or fashion, but they throw them on there, I guess, to increase the visibility. And like I said, with this viral marketing campaign, it works for a little while, and then after the tournament's over, people will probably, unless they like shows with mediocre comedians and cop procedural shows like Cops, they may stick around. For the most part, people will probably just go away.
So it's almost a bait to get listeners, but you think that people will quickly
they'll move on because now the games are on the big networks. Now you got CBS, TNT, TBS. So people actually will gravitate to the quote-unquote big sports networks finally.
Right, and I think all the channels we have available on cable and satellite, too, it does get confusing.
It is confusing. I'm going to be honest. There are times where I flip through my cable system, and I see channels I didn't even know I had. I found out the other day I have CBS Sports Network. Not CBS. CBS Sports Network, and they're showing, like, rodeo and arena cross and things like that. I'm like, I didn't even know I had this. There is something to be said, people have mentioned about a la carte. If there's some way you could maybe pare your cable down and maybe pay less of a price and get only those channels you want, that'd be great. But that's not going to happen because then they can't extort all that money from you for all of these channels.
Let you know, we are taking your telephone calls. The main topic today is social media and sports.
And March Madness.
Especially the college basketball playoffs, and of course March Madness, upcoming baseball season. That's always a big topic here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. So give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. Also invite you to email me, let me know what you think about the show, suggested topics, questions, comments, complaints. If you'd like to be a in-studio guest like Harry is today, or a guest via Skype, or old-fashioned Ma Bell, that would be wonderful. We appreciate different perspectives and different topics all under the general umbrella of IT and telecommunications. Just send me an email. Get out the old touchscreen or voice recognition software or the old-fashioned keyboard that you plug into your computer. Adam@WWGH1071.com, and I would I'd love to hear from you.
The other thing I think we may have missed, too, is that we have St. Patrick's Day today and March Madness same day. So you have people who have probably went into local watering holes and sports bars at 7, 6 o'clock this morning for St. Patrick's Day parties. And I did this a few years ago when it fell on the same day. Getting their drink on, so to speak, and then that will roll right into March Madness, which will tip off at 12 noon today, and you'll have people hanging out till, goodness, 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, I noticed that yesterday I was running some errands and usually leaving my neighborhood about 5:30 p.m. The traffic is not pleasant, but I drove at 5:30, and it felt more like it was 10:30 at night, I think, between you know, the election, which I think had some surprises in it. And March Madness and St. Patrick's Day, and the fact that spring seems to have sprung early, but it's going to cool off this weekend. But it's not going to snow or anything. It's just going to be a little bit cooler. That seems to have lowered the amount of workflow.
Oh, well, that's a very good point. Productivity today and tomorrow at any workplace is going to be down, down, down. And I think most businesses, if they're rational, if a boss is rational, they expect that. They know people are going to be interested in the tournament. So productivity will take a hit the next couple of days. And I think as far as Americans, it's to be expected.
I see Scott's here at the station getting ready for a show. Otherwise, I would say, well, maybe I could have snuck in a day off today, but not with Scott there a few feet away from me.
So you're out of here at 10. You got plenty of time.
Okay. But one thing you brought up also, Harry, that's a good point. With the internet, with smartphones and tablets and all your fancy gadgetry and your Apple Watches and your Fitbits and, you know, A to Z of technology, the fact that you can go ahead and keep a window open on your office computer and watch updates, watch Twitter and possibly even watch a game, and of course many people that work at home anyway. How does that affect people's lack of productivity that they could still watch the games and still be at work where you probably couldn't 20 or 30 years ago?
Well,
you had to do it the old-fashioned way.
Even before the explosion of the internet, productivity was down anyway because somebody would figure out a way to get the TV in the office and watch the games. But yeah, it's just exploded now. And like I said before, I think it's pretty expected. These are almost pseudo holidays in most places, the first 2 days of the basketball tournament. Because like I said, everyone's got a bracket. My wife's got a bracket. People who normally have no interest in college basketball, they have brackets. So it's fun. I think if people were to maybe, you know, what's the right word? I can't use the right word. Tinkle on that. Let's say tinkle on that and maybe crush people's fun. It goes against productivity. Why not embrace it and just say, hey, okay, we're going to have an office pool. Let's have some fun. Embrace it. And then come Monday, you're back to work and everything's hunky-dory.
What do you think the rule should be? And, of course, depends where you work. What should the general rule be, Harry, or a guideline of bosses allowing you to put a window up on your office computer and watch the game or keep an eye on Facebook and see what people are saying? Does that just totally defeat the purpose of going to work at all, or is there a way to kind of mix that
you
in?
You can mix it.
Workflow?
I did a couple years ago. I didn't take these first 2 days off, and I was miserable because I heard other people talking about the game. Somebody was watching it in another room, and I just really felt miserable. And I usually, with the exception of that year, always take these first 2 days of the tournament off. So I don't, if you're at work, no, you shouldn't be sitting there watching games all day, but I think it shouldn't, maybe not encouraged, but I would think it's okay to have a window up and kind of look at the games and monitor them.
So the ability to follow things online is maybe helpful. People can still go to work. They don't have to say, I have to stay home and watch it on TV or visit the game.
Definitely.
I can watch it on the internet.
So definitely.
As long as it's done in a professional manner.
Sure.
It isn't necessarily.
Yeah, if your coworker is being strangled by someone who's coming to the office and you put them off to watch games and tell them to hold on till the final seconds, that's probably not good, but other than that, I think it's fine.
Well, we are heading into the home stretch.
Yes.
The Thursday edition of the Adam, the Computer Guy Show. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Zach B., for calling in. Great conversation.
Hey,
at about 10 after noon today, Phyllis Schlafly will be speaking with our very own Scott Spears about the election. And then about a quarter of one this afternoon, one of my favorite people from the Marion area, Former U.S. and State Treasurer Mary Ellen Withrow will be speaking with Scott, also on a political note. Coming up, starting this Monday at 6, Harry is our mutual friend and brother in broadcasting, Mr. Rick Rantz, with his own style of a radio show. Don't want to miss it. This man, again, he is humorous. Even if you don't agree with him, he is funny. He's very insightful, and politically correct is not in his vocabulary.
Real quick, if I could. Oh, nope.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Are we done?
Yeah, we are done, Harry. Thanks for coming on.
I was going to throw out my contact info.
AdamTheComputerGuy.com.